Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050, online tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, up on TSN 2 for the final hour. You can find us on the radio, live streaming, podcasting, on demand, on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto through the iHeart Radio Canada app as well. So you can find us everywhere. We are everywhere. And there's a lot to get into this final hour because Al's brother will be in studio to try to redeem himself a little bit. He made some comments last week that just simply did not come to fruition.
Outrageous.
Outrageous commentary from Al's brother. So we'll get him in and he can defend himself. We may have to interrogate the grappler and Joe from the Bridge a little bit later on based on their content online over the weekend where they both admitted they get tossed from beer league all the time.
Yeah. And we'll get to those two goons. But Al's brother yesterday, the King Daddy Topper, was when he texted our little three-man group text and he said, "Can't wait to see Matty Staff slinging it." And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't have L.A. Like, we're on the Bears. We have the Bears.
It was amateur hour yesterday on that text chain where Al's brother was so confused by the numbers, by the game, like, he said, "Can't wait for you're right, Matt Stafford. He's going to light it up." I'm like, "Yeah, I hope so, because I'm on the Rams, Al's brother. You're on the Bears."
It's almost like he forgot what he was doing. Like,
I know. I'm concerned. Wow. He's just too busy. He's got too many things on the go. He's producing. He's podcasting. He was up north at a wedding, I guess, himself this weekend. Al's brother, man, he's all over
busy
the place.
Busy guy.
Now he's a very busy guy.
He's being spread too thin, and you're not getting the best of Al's brother.
That's got to be concerning for you, O. That
Dude,
you're not getting,
you,
you're not, you're getting Aaron Rodgers. You're getting Aaron Rodgers of gambling right now.
Aaron Rodgers of gambling. I'm getting worse than that. It's just, it's Manti Te'o. I'm getting Manti Te'o'd by this guy.
Is that the guy who got catfished?
Yeah, he got catfished and it was bad. You are. You're getting catfished right now by Al's
brother. A guy that thinks he knows gambling that doesn't know gambling.
I wonder if he's hedging his bets. Like, I wonder if he really believes the opposite, but he's like, for you, I'll go this way so I guess I can't lose. You know, in my private life, I'm making money.
I guarantee you he's hedging his bets. That was an errant text.
Right.
Like, I'm looking forward to Stafford tonight. That was two buddies where he is all in with it.
And Noodles, I was down in the dumps. It's like, man, another loss. And then he's like, "Wow, Matty Staff slinging it tonight." And I'm like, no. And
no,
Hayes responds with, "Yeah, that's great because I have that guy and I got L.A.
Right. Thank you for the support, Al's brother. But you're on Andrew Dalton tonight. You would prefer
Andy
to
Dalton.
See.
And then the worst one that just – I just wanted to cut the whole text chain off was like, this is amateur hour. And I'm like, this guy's got us before the first kick because
just – it was bad vibes for you guys. Just
it was.
No mojo whatsoever.
No, doesn't even know what team he's cheering for. It's a joke.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So we'll catch up with Al's brother here in just a moment. You guys are on the clock. You're picking a game tonight. It's Ravens -4. The Jays are in action at home against Tampa tonight. Scott Mitchell from the Dome later this afternoon. Yankees were down big, and they stormed back. Aaron Judge tied the game with a 3-run shot. Late, they went 6-5 in extra, so the Yankees picked up really a stop-the-bleeding type of win. Because last night, Francisco Lindor, did you see that bomb he hit in the 8th inning last night? He hit that thing to the Bronx, like it was, he crushed that. He had 3 home runs last night. All of a sudden, everyone loves Lindor in New York.
Well,
2 weeks
ago,
they hated this guy's guts.
And he turned to the dugout and gave like the
he gave a curtain call,
like the strength of arm. Like, that was an absolute moonshot.
It was
like,
a moonshot last night. Yeah. He's a great player. He's a fun player. He's an entertaining player. He's an emotional player. But it hadn't been working out that well for him, clearly, in New York. And the thumbs down stuff, that was ugly.
Yeah,
but Yankees get a win. The Jays are back in action tonight again with Tampa in town. Alec Manoah on the mound. So we'll catch up with Scott Mitchell a little bit later in the hour. Why don't we bring in Al's brother and we'll get him to kind of respond. He doesn't look happy. He really is not in a good mood.
Getting wrenched.
You don't look like you're in a happy
place
right now.
Can you just explain anything? Like, what do you have to say? I know we're buddies still, and like, we have to move forward, but do you have anything to say for what went on this weekend?
I don't even know where to start, realistically.
Let's start with Buff Pitt, where we started. Like, what happened?
Josh Allen just couldn't get it done. You know what happened? I don't know why that offense couldn't get it going against. I mean, the Steelers have a really good defense, but like they should have put. They put up 6 points in the second half. Like they did nothing. They got outscored 23-6 in the second half. That Josh Allen, the one who everyone's saying is an MVP candidate, dark horse to win it. He put up 6 points. Didn't get a touchdown in that second half. That can't.
No,
you're not going to win that way.
Inexcusable. Yeah. No, it is. Like Allen threw the ball 50 times or 51 times. They still don't have a run game. That's got to be concerning.
Yeah.
But Allen did not play well. Like Aaron Rodgers had the worst performance of the weekend, regardless of how awful other guys were, because of what he put himself, you know, through the offseason, the spotlight he put himself in. There's a lot of people that are hating on Aaron Rodgers and want to see him fail miserably, and that's exactly what he did yesterday. That was a pathetic performance by him and the Packers. But Buffalo at home against that Steelers offense that looked anemic in the first half, they had to find a way to walk away with a win. And not only did they not win, but obviously because they lost on the money line, they also lost on the spread. They were handing out 6.5 yesterday.
Yeah.
Al's brother. And
Claypool looked good, though, right? Friend of the show, good Canadian boy. Chase Claypool got involved in the second half, and that really started to get the Steelers going, though.
That is going to go a long way. Yeah. I mean, Claypool playing in front of fans in the NFL, which he didn't have a chance to do last year. So that one went south for you. You got Cleveland. You had Cleveland plus 5.5.
By the way, let's lock that in. Let's make sure the grappler writes it down, whatever we lock in the bet at, because I'm a little bit – there was some sketchy stuff going on yesterday.
Well, what do you mean? What was going on?
I can tell you exactly what happened there. So on the ticker, and also because Hayes specifically said 6 points, I thought that's what we were going with. That said, the line at the time was at 5.5. But Hayes said 6. And so did the ticker. So we went with 6, but then the grappler tweeted out 5.5 because that's what it said earlier. So there was some, you know, discrepancies there. But regardless, we covered anyways.
Didn't matter in the end, but I don't remember saying 6. I'm not calling you a liar. If I did, I'd probably have to chew on that. Like, if I'm the one making the bet with you and I say it's 6, then I probably have to own that.
I love the term, I'm not calling you a liar. That's exactly what the person is
calling you, a blatant, outright liar. For that commentary.
You just misremember, that's all.
I misremember.
You know, what do we got, a 6 point here?
6 points.
I think they can cover the 6 points.
Oh, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. That's leading witness right there.
But if you go earlier
you
in the
said
clip,
it.
Go earlier in the clip, you broke it down first. And then
let's play that one again, Balls.
I'm also on the dogs here with the dog pound. I like the Cleveland Brownies to cover. Will they win? Maybe not. But, you know, what do we got, a 6 point? Here.
6 points.
I think they can cover the 6 points.
That's leading the witness right there.
I'm telling you.
That is burying
it was a segment. It was a segment before you said it was 6. And I looked at the ticker, which is there's a TV screen over here, and it said 6 right on it. Because I knew there was a little bit of
that's a little bit greasy right there. I might be taking advantage of a little, you know, balloon hanging out there, and you decided to hammer away
at the end of the day. We covered.
Irrelevant. Didn't matter anyway. It's all good. Okay, so. And then the Sunday nighter, that was my pick. I was on the Rams. You were all over the Rams as well. You mentioned that. They were a lock for the Survivor Pool. We took them in one of our Survivor Pools. Shout out to the Rams. So we're through on that. Tonight, this is what I'm seeing online. Ravens 3.5. It's been bet down. It was 4 all afternoon. It's been bet down to 3.5. The Monday night NFL pick is back and is brought to you by our friends at BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. So Ravens laying 3.5. 3.5-point favorites at Vegas tonight. Fans, packed building, we expect. First time that has been the case in Vegas. So we're going to have local fans in the house. You guys are officially on the clock. Team Aldog, talk amongst yourselves
with a pick. We already have, and I would like to introduce our general manager to make this selection for this evening. Al's brother, take the mic.
Well, I think the only reason why this game is getting bet down is strictly because of the new stadium. People are making way too much about this new stadium bump because the Ravens should be favored by a lot
about?
More.
No, no. Just
what am I talking about?
A new stadium bump?
I've established tremendous information.
That's what you're morphing into. Tremendous information, you two.
I just think there's we're on the Ravens. That is the pick that we are making. We are on the Ravens -3.5. And what I was getting to is just the fact that I think this has been bet down a lot. It opened up at 5.5, and then there's been some running backs who have gone down. There's been some injuries on both sides, and that's kind of allowed this line to fluctuate a little bit. But I think as of late, today's action, I think there's a lot of people thinking that the Raiders should come out in front of their home fans and, you know, ignite something in this team and somehow make it a close game against the Ravens. But I just don't see it happening. I'm going to give you and rattle off a couple of stats, all right?
Yeah, okay. Oh,
back in 2017, all right, the Baltimore Ravens blew out the Bengals 20-0 in the season opener. The following year in 2018, blew out the Bills 47-3 in the season opener. A year later, they beat the Finns 59-10 in the season opener. Last year against the playoff-bound Browns, they defeated them 38-6. They've covered 5 straight games against the spread in the season opener. The Ravens are a lock. Of course, that's going to be the pick for Team Owl Dog tonight.
I don't know. It sounds great. I just
Like Jamie. This guy, I leave the bet, and I just like that. That sounded so amazing.
I can't find a win on the Houston Texans schedule. I think this team is going to go 0-17 this year.
Listen to the conviction. Not only did they win Week One, they blew the doors off their opponent Week One.
They're leading the division.
They're leading the division in the AFC South.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you guys. There have been phrases that have come up over the course of this show that I really enjoy and I love, and I try to hammer home, and they end up as a part of my own vernacular in everyday life.
Right.
When I hear Al's brother say, "I just don't see it happening," it's like hearing the jackpot go off at a casino. It's like me walking into
a
store.
It's like an ATM dispensing money.
Exactly. You know what I hear? It's OLG. I hear winner, winner, Gagnon. That's what I hear when Al's brother says, "I just don't see it happening," because he just couldn't see the Cowboys covering. He just couldn't see the Steelers covering. And now he just can't see the Ravens doing anything but rolling. I knew you were going to take the favorites. That's all you guys do is take the favorites.
That's not true.
We're on the Browns. They're
the
dogs.
That's one pick. That's one. But everyone else all weekend, Al's brother, you love the favorites. Love the favorites. The dogs are 11-5 so far in the week.
And by the way, I'd like to maneuver the format. I'd like to go for a 5-pack on Sundays, please.
You want to add 2 more games on the Sunday?
I'd like it. I'd like to have
memory, Beansy.
Beansy, don't make me have a conversation with you behind the pizza parlor.
No, no. A five pack for Sundays.
You got a bad memory, Beansy. This doesn't work well for you.
Noodles can narrate on Fridays, and he can throw out the 5 games, and it spices it up a little. It always creates the interest.
So Noodle's going to pick the games now?
No, he's just going to say, here's the game. It's your pick.
Yeah. I'll lay it out for you guys. It's just when I sit back and listen to this, Al's brother, you're so well-spoken, it's like with conviction, right?
Right. I buy in every time,
Jamie. It's a lock of the century. Yeah. Like, I bet, you know, and then it doesn't happen, and you're just perplexed. You're like, what happened?
That's the best part, Noodles, is the next day he's legitimately in shock. Like, how could that have possibly happened? There's no way happen.
But being the amateur gambler, I'm not a gambler whatsoever, but I sit back and I watch the screen, and Hayes is a veteran gambler. He's smiling. Like, he'll actually smile and go, "That's not how gambling works. You guys know that there's a spread. You know that." Like, I'm like, he is just sitting back, almost like in the weeds, laughing, going,
"I like the dog tonight. I got to be honest. I've said this.
What do you
all
like about that tonight?
Well,
yeah, seriously.
I like the stadium bump. I like a packed stadium in Vegas. I think John Gruden, it's long overdue. This guy actually wins a significant game at home. I think you're overlooking the fact that there is no run game outside of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Like, they have lost.
He's good enough.
Kind of a big deal. And I'll tell you what, though.
A huge deal. Thank you, Al's brother. Again, that is a big deal.
I'm saying Lamar Jackson is a big factor of that run game.
Of course he is. But without the RPO, like, they're not going to hand the ball off a lot tonight. So he's going to be running constantly. If you're John Gruden, you have to be smart enough. You put a spy on him all night. Easier said than done. Make him throw the ball. We'll see what he's got.
Dude, that game that Al's brothers mentioned against Cleveland last year, did you not see him run? That was good enough to kill
I hear
Cleveland.
You. I think J.K. Dobbins was in the house last year.
You do too much. I'll say this, though. When it comes to the run game, it's not as big of a worry for me tonight because when I look at the Baltimore Ravens last few seasons, they've really been a running back by committee team. So they're not used to having a lead dog, you know? So I think it's really been a next man up mentality for this club for a while when it comes to the run game. I think Latavius Murray is going to come in. Basically, they signed him. He wasn't necessarily off the street. He was in Saints camp.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah, he had a decent year, so he's going to come in. I think he'll get some touches. They got that undrafted rookie who's going to get some touches. But they got such an unbelievable offensive line who could just move people and create lanes. So I think the running game, although their stars have gone down, you got Gus Bus going down last week. Earlier, you had J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill. There's a lot of guys who went down, but I still think that the Ravens might be able to establish a run because of the strengths of that offensive line.
Well, we'll see. And Derek Carr is your classic, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
No kidding.
If he shows up tonight, he'll keep him in the ballgame. And I guess that's all I need. I don't need a win. I just need a cover. You know, that's what I'm looking for tonight. You give me plus points at home week one, the science would suggest go for it.
The Raiders are 9-11 in the last 20 against the spread.
Okay. Well, thank you. Look at you with all these stats, Al's brother. That is why you would say something like, I just don't see it happening.
I just don't, especially when the Ravens are 14-5-1.
Okay. I've established tremendous information.
I just don't see it happening. All right. Anyway, there you have it. Al's brother, Team Al Dog, they're on the clock. And you guys, the pick is in. You're on the Ravens -3.5 in Vegas tonight.
I feel good about it. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
Well,
good luck, gentlemen.
That would mean next week I will have the Thursday, the 4 o'clock and the Monday game, unless we add games.
No, it's a 5-pack. Well, so, but you do have the Thursday and the Monday. We're going to add a 5-pack on Sunday.
That's Giants at Washington football team on the Thursday nighter. That may not be a barn burner. You see your boy Ryan Fitzpatrick out for up to 6 to 8 weeks. He's been placed on IR. Taylor Heinicke is back in there.
He didn't look bad in the playoffs last year, though.
Right?
Almost beat Brady.
That's right. Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the Monday night, or the Packers, the line's already out on Monday night. Packers -10.5 at home against Detroit. That'll be bet up, I'll bet you, to 12.5, 13.5.
You think so?
I think so. Because I think people will bank on Rodgers being so embarrassed, the Packers being exactly. And that Detroit team's terrible.
Yeah.
They stink. All right, there you have it. The Monday night NFL pick brought to you by BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Team Al Dog on the board. Ravens -3.5. Scott Mitchell coming up. The Yankees with a big come-from-behind win today. So they're into the win column. The Jays are in action with Tampa in town tonight. Manoa on the mound up against McHugh. We'll get into that and more coming up with Scotty Mitch. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jays back in action tonight, back home, taking on Tampa. And the Jays just put up some massive run production over the course of the weekend. They had 22 runs yesterday alone, and everyone's been posting the stat, how many NFL teams they outscored. And some of them are not overly surprising, but
not necessary.
Also, yeah, they outscored the Packers. And I know I continue to hammer away at this because it's my team and we spent so much oxygen on this story all summer. But, like, the further I get removed from that game, the more like, anger is driving
me.
I'm getting so aggravated. And it's all about Aaron Rodgers. Like, for him to act the way he acted all offseason, like he doesn't care about anything, doesn't want to be there, blah, blah, blah. And then for him to show up and play like that, it was embarrassing, and the whole team was embarrassing. And
it's bad news, man. He's kind of like, you think of where he was as far as the NFL and where quarterbacks are, Hayes. Like, he's taking a hit, man. Like, he's got to get it back on track.
Yeah, but
MVP or not, man.
Yeah, MVP. I mean, I think what it is he just had a bad PR offseason. That's what it was.
Yeah, like, and the PR offseason continued right into the first game where it's kind of a combination now.
Yeah, he's got some stink on him right now because the bad PR, and then a poor first game. So now, what do you do? How do you dig out of this? Because he had arguably one of the best seasons you've seen out of a 37-year-old athlete. Period.
Right.
Not just in the NFL. Period. Pro athletes last year, he was so brilliant. won the MVP, should have won it. But then, I don't know if that was him being a baby. I don't know if that, like, I don't know the backstory. We're not privy to the things that go on behind the scenes, but that just looked
bad on him. The players have to play,
right?
Yeah, like, there could be, there's probably blood on both sides, you know, on the hands of both, but the GM doesn't play. The president doesn't play. You're the guy who's getting paid a lot of money. You're the guy who needed your contract reworked. You're the guy who didn't show up to camp all summer, didn't work with anyone, was telling people not to sign there, and that's how you perform. That's a bad look. It doesn't have to be a lasting look, right? Like, it's a good segue to the Blue Jays. 2.5 weeks ago, bad look. You're like, this team's just going to fade, man. Like, they're just going to fall apart and fade, and they're going to lose. They're going to miss this playoff spot by 10 games. And now all of a sudden it's a good look, and who cares about 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago is completely irrelevant. You got the Tampa Bay Rays in town tonight, and you're in a playoff spot. That's what matters. Yep. You know, that's the beauty of sports, is you can dig yourself a deeper hole or you can dig yourself out of the hole. Because whenever you're playing a game, that's the equivalent of a shovel being thrown your way.
Exactly.
Right? Every game is a shovel. What are you going to do with it? Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers has dug himself a hole in week one. He can dig out of it with a big win next week and continue to move on in a weak division. The Jays had dug themselves a big hole 2 weeks ago. Now it's all good. Right. You know? Now all of a sudden it's like, man, positive vibes. The Jays playing a team in Tampa who never relents. You know precisely what you're going to get out of this team tonight and throughout this series. They're not going to make mistakes. They're going to throw strikes. You know, they're going to play basically textbook baseball and execute from 1 through 25 on the roster. And yet I feel pretty good about the Jays, you know, chances going into the series. I'm not going to predict one way or the other what they're going to do here in terms of wins, but would I be surprised if they took 2 of 3? No, I wouldn't. And I think it's justified. I think it's justified confidence because they're 14-2 in the last 16.
Mm-hmm. What do they got? Tampa
red hot.
For 4?
They got them for 3. They got Tampa for 3, and then they got Minnesota for 3, and then Tampa again for 3 down in Tampa. I think they play Tampa 6 of their next 9 games. 3 at Toronto, 3 at Tampa. So, you know, this is – you talk about a litmus test. I'm not sure you really are in a position to do that when you're in a playoff spot and holding on for your life.
Right.
You know, it might be for Tampa. Let's see what Tampa has in store because they're not really playing for anything because they're 9 games up on the division. But I don't expect Tampa to really let their foot off the gas.
No, they never do. No.
They never do. Kevin Cash will not allow it. It's just not the way they operate.
It would just be so nice to have like a Baltimore 4 here, 4 there to just right at the very end.
Well, Baltimore's waiting for you. Their last series is against Baltimore at home. You know, so the last 6 games for the Jays, which is really putting the cart before the horse, is a 6-game homestand, 3 against the Yankees, 3 against Baltimore to close it. So, you know, and you got 7 remaining against Tampa, you got 6 against the Rays.
We got to get down to one of those, Hayes.
Yes.
I don't know when those are. We got to make it to 1.
Yes.
Be nice.
That final homestand, if not before that, we're down there, 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's a wild card, again, I've been saying this today, it didn't really dawn on me over the course of the weekend or throughout this run over the last 15, 16 games, that you could be hosting a wild card game. You know, when you consider where we were 5 years ago when they hosted, that was the Ken Pagan game. Last time the Jays hosted a wild card game.
God, that was bizarre.
Ken Pagan stepped into our collective lives. And remember that? Like, Manhunt?
He's our buddy.
Yeah, he's our buddy.
Yeah, like, he's a big fan of the show. He tweets in all the time. And
dude, they went after him like he was Richard Kimball. Like,
it was
Richard Kimball in Chicago trying to find that guy. And I was like, imagine if they cared that much about real stuff in public. And Kenny Pagan was a fugitive.
You remember?
Ken Pagan was a legitimate fugitive.
Yes, for throwing a beer can.
But do you remember the beer can was like the magic bullet? People were trying to figure out where it came from, the trajectory.
Yeah.
Like, you
dude,
know, there was
pictures in the Toronto Sun every day saying which one of these people was it. And then they rounded it down to Ken.
Here's the amazing thing, all right? It was the Zapruder film. Like, people were breaking it down. Like, Jesse Ventura was coming in with a conspiracy theory on what was actually happening in left field. But I'm pretty sure Sun Media and the Toronto Sun put up a bounty to find the guy, and then it
Dude,
turned
it was
out
Richard Kimball.
He worked for Sun
for
Media.
Sun Media.
So yeah,
we
got
to talk to him. Like, I'm sure enough time's gone by. Ken's our buddy. Like, he's just, I don't know if he wants to talk about
that.
I
don't get
incident.
The impression like he does, man. I think he's incredibly remorseful. Like, as far as I know, the ban is still outstanding. Like, I don't.
Right.
Why can't it be a Bartman scenario? They get into a wild card game and they host the game. Why can't we get Ken Pagan back out in left field?
Dude, I'm sorry. No disrespect to Ken, but nobody would pick him out of a line and say,
nobody
you're the
would.
Guy that's not allowed.
Not a chance.
Right.
Ken Pagan had tickets to the wild card game. No one's going to say,
not
excuse me. What do you
thing.
Think? We're idiots here? We know who you are.
Agreed.
Here's our Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. You think we could get Ken Pagan into a wild card game or what?
I love it. I dropped a Ken Pagan tweet about a month ago when the Blue Jays returned home. I said, Ken Pagan can throw a beer can at me. That's how much energy is in the building. So, I mean, he's been on my mind for years, half a decade now. At least.
Right. Like, let's go full circle here. It's like Bartman in Chicago. Like, he made a mistake. It was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. He deserved to get kicked out and banned and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, didn't they want to give Bartman a ring, a World Series ring?
I don't remember the ring.
Yeah,
is that true
did.
And accurate, Scotty? I don't remember if they went that far.
That's a good question. I mean, if O-Dog says it, it's got to be partially true at least, so we'll go with that.
I'm telling you, I think the Cubs wanted to make peace with Bartman and offer him. They wanted to offer peace to begin with, but I think he just wanted to keep his distance, and he said no thanks. But I believe they wanted to give him a World Series ring, Bartman. All right? There's a fact for you guys.
I hope that's true. Can you imagine Bartman after all that time, he walks around with a Cubs World Series ring? That'd be
awesome. There's definitely partial truth to that story. I remember I covered the run in 2016, and they were inviting him to games, and you know, he wanted to kind of keep a low pro, and I get it after, you know, the torment he went through over those years. But yeah, I mean, I would have taken the ring.
Yeah, me too. They probably wouldn't have given him like the real ring, would have been equally as insulting. He should have haggled with them and said, I'll do it, but I want like the $250,000 ring, like whatever, you know, Javi Baez is getting. That's what I'm looking for. And maybe that was the issue, that they wanted to give him like a tier 5, you know, $2,500 ring, and he wasn't cool with that. Anyway, we're talking about Ken Pagan and Bartman, and the Jays are on a heater here. They're 14-2 in the last 16. The bats are red hot. And as you said, they're feeling good. You got Alek Manoah on the mound, and Tampa's in town. This is the ultimate test. It's a complete oxymoron considering what we just went through over the course of the weekend, a complete opposite in terms of a team and depth and performance and execution. But what do you expect the Jays to bring over the next 3 nights?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, because, I mean, you know, you said it. This is a great litmus test. And look, I mean, where they sit in the division, I don't think there's any sort of realistic notion that you know, these guys are chasing the Rays, but there's definitely a you know, kind of a psyche evaluation here over the next 3 days, you know, for this Blue Jays club. And I mean, they just came off beating the Yankees and A's, so it's not like they can't be good teams, but this Rays team is obviously the team you got to go through. If you get into a wild card game, you go straight to play the you know, the best American League record, and that's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays, unless you know, something totally crashes down here over the next couple of weeks. But you know, they've been a thorn in the Jays' side for a few years now, and you know, winning at the Trop has been tough. And obviously, going back to that you know, playoff game there last year, I mean, you know, this is the team you got to go through, and it's not just this year. I think it's, you know, the next half decade. So you know, litmus test now, and we'll see what they look like after coming off this hot stretch. I mean, to you know, ask for 7.5 runs per game, which is what they've averaged over this 16 game stretch. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So eventually you're going to have to settle down, play some real good baseball, and start winning close games. And I think that's really, you know, kind of what I'm watching for with this team over these next couple of weeks. Is they've struggled in close games this year. Over this streak, though, they've been 5-0 in one-run ball games. So you got to win those close ones. You can't blow teams out. When you play teams like the Rays, you're going to be playing close games. So I think it's a good test for them this week.
Scotty, $150 million contract. My dad always says you get paid that money for winning. Would you not expect Springer to kind of be a guy to focus on coming down the stretch here as the catalyst? A guy that has experience, World Series MVP. I mean, to just talk to the guy. I mean, maybe it's overrated to talk to guys about experiences and what it's actually like. But as far as expectations of being kind of a go-to guy and a catalyst, wouldn't you kind of zero on him as one of the guys, or if not the guy?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is what you pay George Springer for. I mean, you know, you want that 162 games of production. You know, you want him in the lineup and you know, being, you know, doing what he does April through August. But, you know, September, October is where these guys really make their money. And we know his playoff resume. We know, you know, what he's about in October. And I would absolutely think that, you know, he's a guy that you look to at the top of that lineup to set the tone and be the catalyst. And, you know, that's what he's done throughout his career. And, yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people have talked about this as, you know, kind of a tough first season, you know, after that, signing that big contract. And, you know, if you ask Springer, I assume he would say the same thing. But, you know, when he has been in the lineup, he's been productive. The numbers look good in terms of, you know, what he's been able to produce when he is in there. And yeah, I think, you know, down the stretch here and definitely if they can, you know, squeeze into October into a wild card game, you know, you pay big bucks for those big moments. And I think that experience with him and Marcus Semien, I think that's been tremendously valuable throughout this season. And I think it's only more valuable going down the stretch here because this is still a young ball club. This is, you know, one of the youngest position player groups in the major leagues. And when you look at kind of what they needed, it's no secret when you go out and get Springer and Semien, you want that that valuable playoff experience, that big game experience. And, you know, it's hard to quantify, like you said, but I absolutely think it has an effect on this dugout. And when they get into close games, it's something they didn't have when you look at last year's, you know, postseason loss to the Rays. They didn't have these two guys to kind of be that steadying hand. And then when you add in that production, obviously they've both been very, very productive. You know, I do think that these guys, you know, Springer and Semien are super key down the stretch here.
How big of a triple crown conversation do you expect to have down the stretch here with Vladdy?
Big time, man. I think that's, you know, kind of one of the side stories that's been swept under the rug a little bit. I mean, we talked about Vladdy's kind of MVP chances, which, you know, I still don't think are totally dead at this point. Obviously, if voters are just going to go strictly by war, I think, you know, Ohtani's clearly the favorite at this point. But when you look at the triple crown, I mean, man, if Vladdy, you know, continues to tear up September, wins the triple crown, pushes this Jays club into the playoffs, I think that's going to earn him some MVP votes. And when you look at the triple crown, man, it's special. I mean, it hasn't happened since 2012, and it was a long time before that. And, you know, I think, you know, if you talk to this Jays team, I think a lot of his teammates are kind of pulling for him. You know, Vladdy's just kind of downplaying it, as you would expect. But I do think he's right there. And I think, you know, the obvious the race right now is the home runs with Ohtani, but you know, he's going to need to pick up some more ribbies to catch Jose Abreu, and I think that's the one obviously people should pay attention to this week. He needs a few of those doubles into the gaps, those bases clearing doubles to catch him. So I mean, I think that's a special you know, achievement if he's able to do it, and I think it is something that, you know, he would love to do.
Well, and it would put him in special company historically throughout baseball, but obviously it would be completely unique to this club and their history and all the different records that he is writing. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. now with 44 home runs. He got 19 games left. I mean, legitimate shot at 50. I don't think he's going to hit, you know, 54-plus home runs. But we've been having this conversation, it feels like, since the first month or two of the season. Scotty, where this season for Vladdy is going to compare to the all-time greats, when you think of Bell and his MVP season in the 80s, even on the other side of it, Roger Clemens in the late 90s, you look at the Bautista year where he hit 54, Donaldson's MVP year in 15. I mean, even if he doesn't win the hardware, I think you'll be able to make a legitimate case that he's having a better year than Donaldson did in 15. And maybe he's already secured that. That's how good he's been.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the total production across the board, the numbers, you know, this is one of the top two, three seasons ever in Blue Jays history. And, you know, I think to watch him do it at the age of 22, it's obviously pretty special. And I think there's going to be, you know, a handful of seasons just like this to come. And, you know, I think it when you look at his adjustments this year, his dedication to the game, it's all really come together. And, you know, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think the only time he's really scuffled is that 3-week stretch in August, and everyone kind of believed he would come out of that, and, you know, just a little mental and physical fatigue, and we're obviously seeing that's exactly what it is. And, you know, when you think about this club in a wild card game scenario, you know, winner or go home, You know, when you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the lineup, he's the type of player, the type of bat that can win a game single-handedly like that. And obviously the way he's locked in right now, you know, the Blue Jays just kind of hope that he could stay this locked in throughout the end of the season and then down into October, because, you know, right now he's absolutely in a zone, and we've seen this a couple times this year. And, you know, when Vladdy's in a zone and you have a guy like, you know, guys like you have behind him, it's such a deep and scary lineup, and we're seeing just how capable, you know, all these guys are right now. And, you know, the fact they've got a rotation to back it up, you know, these guys are playing the best baseball of their season when it matters most. And, you know, we'll see what happens over these next 2-3 weeks, because, you know, it's impossible to ignore how this team is playing.
No, they've been outstanding. And it continues tonight. You got Springer leading off, Simeon hitting second, Guerrero Jr. You got Alejandro Kirk behind the plate catching for Manoah tonight. And, you know, Gurriel's been red hot. You really can't pick out a weakness at the plate. And some of that is Baltimore, clearly, and their pitching or their lack thereof. But it was rolling well before that as well. So we'll see what happens tonight throughout this three-game series. It's a big one with Tampa in town. Enjoy it down there, Scotty. And we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Cheers, pal.
There's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, live from the Dome tonight ahead of a big one with Tampa in town.
They just got to keep grinding.
I think he had a flush there.
You think so?
I don't know if you guys heard that. Near the end, there was a flush.
No, Noodles? I didn't hear that.
I did not hear that. I mean,
I thought I saw you laughing, Noodles, because I heard it, man.
Wow.
We have to get some investigative reporting on that.
Dig into that one. There might have been a flush. I don't know.
That's
tough. I hope not for Scotty's sake, but if there was, I can pledge to you today, we will find it. If there was a flush, the film and the audio will be reviewed thoroughly.
What is Al's brother's new classic line? I just can't see that
happening. I just don't see it happening. Yeah. It's honestly, it's like it's music to my ears. I just don't see it happening. It's the equivalent of him just passing poker chips to me. Say, I'm not going to play the hand. You go ahead and take that.
That's where Mulch should hit him with the attaboy, Brooksy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when, the minute he says it.
Well, we need to isolate that clip. Like, that one, you know what's coming tonight. Like, if the Raiders roll, that clip's being played 45,000 times tomorrow. 45,000 times. But we'll
see.
Like,
what kind of leash should I have on that guy? Like, how long can you lean on him?
I mean, you got to take some responsibility, too. You're a co-captain.
I know. And generally, the scary thing is we are on the exact same page for most picks. But I'm a retired hockey player. I rely on his expertise in this field. But generally, it's like one text saying, I love the Ravens tonight. And the one back is, me too.
Well, that was you guys with the Bucks on Thursday. Like, that was, you were so committed to that game. You guys were
so committed,
so horny for the Bucks. Yeah. Laying, what were they laying that night? 7.5, 8.5? Was it more than that? 9.5, I think. It was a crazy number. Yes. And I get it. It's
and
Dallas.
We didn't care. It could have been 15, 16.
Honestly, it really could. It could have been 16.5. You guys would have laid the points. So, hey, listen, it's week one. We got a lot of runway ahead of us here. Like
but at what point do I have to cut my losses and say I got to look for somebody else?
Who? I would say.
If he goes 0-for next weekend, it's over.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you get a loss tonight and he goes, he throws a bagel up next weekend, you got to really seriously consider something. You know, now you're letting your fans down and the room's going to get carried away. Like now you might have to make a change just to make a change. Al's brother anymore.
If we lose tonight and we just totally stink the joint out next week, we got to take a break for a week. We got to give him a week off.
Well,
no?
So you're giving him, like, you're benching him or, like, sending him down for some conditions?
Only if things go south again this coming weekend. I mean, that's it.
That's not a bad idea. Send him to the minors. Tell him that he's got to bet college football for a weekend. You know, it's like a conditioning stint in baseball.
Yeah,
you got to go
down
to Double
A.
Yeah, you know that. I think that's reasonable. I don't think that's, you know, being too harsh. Personally.
Oh, he needs a good week. He needs
Grappler
a good week.
Might sub in. Grappler just texted me he's interested. If Al's brother tanks it this weekend, uh-oh, Grappler might be in.
That's don't see it happening.
It's just so confident.
Play that again. It's just.
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, you know what we got to do? We have to apply that to past history. You know, like what would Al's brother have said right before the Leafs choked away another Game 7?
I just don't see it happening.
Game 5.
Al's brother.
Game 5 heading into overtime, the Leafs, Montreal, and you're like, yep, this is
The Leafs are locked. They're storming the back. There's no way they're going to lose tonight.
Yeah. I just don't see it happening.
All right, TSN 1050 is giving you the chance to attend a special premier event of Films for Fans presented by OLG, TIFF, and the NBA, a program in support of Canadian BIPOC filmmakers featuring 5 short films from Canadian filmmakers and basketball fans. So head over to our Instagram account at TSN 1050, at TSN 1050 on Instagram, and look for the Films for Fans contest post for details on how to enter, and you could score 2 tickets to the event September 17th down at the TIFF Bell Lightbox, plus a prize pack complete with co-branded merchandise and an OLG lottery gift card. Love it. Thanks. Yeah. Check us out on Instagram at TSN 1050 to get involved in that. We'll come back and tee up the Jays game again, the Ravens-Vegas game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so a lot of developments taking place over the course of the afternoon in terms of our own show, you know, just internally and what's happening here, and the O-Dog and Al's brother trying to stay on the same page, and the idea that Al's brother, if he remains on a cooler, he might have to be sent down to the minors for a conditioning stint.
He has to give me proof, a betting ticket that's a winner. Like, he has to show me that before. If this weekend goes south, the following week, he has to provide a betting stub of some sort. That's a winner for us to move forward.
Can you imagine being sent to the gambling minors?
Because the worst minors
minors? Like, what leagues would we be talking? Like, that's a...
Can you imagine you got to go watch some kid's baseball game and bet on the winner to, like, get out of the gutter?
It would probably be something like that. My kid's soccer game, I'll place a line on it. Al's brother can come out, and if he picks a winner, then he can get back up into the big leagues. We'll call him back up. But, you know, now you know what's happening. This has been a development that took place a lot last year. People are sending in snapshots of their live betting, fading Al's brother and Team Al Dog. Like, multiple guys are writing in. They're like, I'm on Vegas on the money line tonight. Like, forget the points. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to seeing Lamar Jackson and John Gruden. You would think, like, is there any pressure on this guy? He signs a 10-year, $100 million deal. His team stinks every single year.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd find a way to maybe, you know, win double-digit games, John? Like, maybe sniff out a playoff game?
Doesn't, like, Lloyd Christmas pull him aside and say, $10 million a year? But like, you got to start winning sometime.
You would think.
But they're printing money there. Brand new stadium.
Yeah, like, but still, they had the old excuse of we're leaving Oakland, blah, blah, blah. Now they're there, and now fans are going to be in the building. I'm pretty much sure that there's a mandate, like, you better start getting it done now. Enough's enough.
That's right.
That's fair.
We mentioned Drew Brees and his hair. I know you've seen it, what is your final take on this? Because, like, there's been some work done. This guy's got new hair, for sure.
What I'll say about that rebuild is – that is a perfectly executed skullet replacement. Because, look at the left. You know that there's you're in deep trouble there. That's if you get hip checked in men's league and your helmet comes off, you're grabbing it immediately, like our buddy. And on the right, that's what happens when you have a lot of money. You can go into some guy and say, make me look good. Make me look like Tom Brady. And on the right, it's the perfect solid rebuild. It's not like he's got this big poofy hairdo where everyone's going to say, oh, my God. That is the best that money can buy as far as a solid rebuild.
Yeah, it's subtle, but it's enough.
It's so professional.
It looks good. And if you didn't know the previous look, you'd be like, that's just a natural head of hair, man. Drew Brees is looking good. I guess he's always looked that good. You're right, because you can't come back with like a perm or something.
Long hair.
No.
But
it's just
perfectly
placed.
You know what he did
too?
He shaved the sides to kind of draw a little attention away from it. Like, it is a perfect salad. That's the gold standard for salad rebuild.
That's the Mona Lisa of a salad rebuild right there, Drew Brees. Because you're right. He had an ally of Frady cooking when he was playing last year. And it's all good now. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what happens. Jays, Rays tonight. Big game, big series. Jays are back in the driver's seat for the wild card. We look forward to that. And Ravens in Vegas tonight, laying 3.5. That game can be heard on TSN Radio, seen on TSN tonight. Cannot wait for it. An end to week one, if you can believe it. So best of luck to all the bettors out there, Team Owldog in particular. And it should be a good one tonight. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
I just don't see it happening.
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
I just don't see it happening.